The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, we know of Christmas in July, but how about Christmas in August? Well, we're going to talk about this because we're in the book of Matthew. And after the genealogies, you get straight to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to cover that today, and it's always a blessing to do that. It's I know we do it at Christmas, but it is a message that needs to be given again and again. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy each day at this time to dig into God's Word. And we haven't gone through the book of Matthew for 11 years, and we're going back through it. It is a long book when it looks to Gospels. Alex, let me say this, and I'll throw it to you. I was reading, trying to find some, you know, a new perspective a little bit. I don't mean there's nothing new under the sun. I know that, but something I had not seen. And I found this to be interesting, and I'm going to read it and share it with you and see what you think.
Okay.
It says, why of all the four Gospels does Matthew, why was it first? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It wasn't probably the first one written. It was Mark, but it said, the early church placed it first in the New Testament canon because it is a natural bridge between the Old and New Testament because, and you'll find this phrase today, that it might be fulfilled is used as it bridges the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus and bringing them alive in the New Testament. I thought that was a good statement. What about you?
I agree. Bert, it's great to be with you and great to be in Matthew chapter 1 and great to be Tuesday because that's the day we take prayer requests as well. But it is the perfect bridge from the book of Malachi, the closing of the Old Testament, the beginning of really the story of the new covenant, the New Testament, beginning, of course, with the arrival of Jesus. Matthew, and very, you know, Jewish in its voice, you might say, it is the perfect bridge to begin to lead readers into the New Testament. So good call there, Bert.
And that's what we want to do today. Yesterday, we went over the genealogy, and that is so important. As you said, Alex, in verse 17, the 14, the 14, the 14, and you went through different individuals in those groups. But the first verse is also important. It makes it plain, and it shows the Jewishness, as we've talked about, of this book. When he said, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's pretty Jewish when it gets to the roots of it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and as we get into Matthew, 28 chapters, I really do love the Gospel of Matthew, all of God's Word, but we've got the Nativity, we've got the Sermon on the Mount, very famously, Matthew 5 through 7. You know, we've got the Lord's Prayer is in this Gospel, and there's so much just to ponder on and internalize. Yesterday, we went through these genealogies and got up to verse 17. Verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. I always love how the King James says it on this wise, or as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, in other words, they were engaged, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly or privately. So Joseph's fiance is carrying a child, and he thinks, well, you know, he will quietly call off the marriage, right? Verse 20, but while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So right here, we've got a reference to Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:6. So Joseph gets a visitation from an angel who says, look, don't be afraid to marry Mary, because that the baby she's carrying is conceived in her of the Holy Spirit. Bert, look at, if you would, at verse 20. It says, Joseph, son of David. So Joseph was of the right lineage. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived. Now, the way the wording is, I don't want to miss this. Even though they were only engaged, it was a covenant. Marriage was a covenant. Marry your wife. And it doesn't say marry the one who is eventually going to be your wife. Here's the thing. I think about this, Bert. We accept Christ and we're saved. And then maybe people live years or decades and then they go to heaven. When you are betrothed to Jesus, Paul in Romans 7 says we're espoused to Jesus. We already are the bride of Christ. And the bridegroom is not going to abandon us or leave us, is he?
He is not. And again, betrothal in those days had a little bit more significant than the engagement in our day. They were considered husband and wife after that was announced, after it was given. It would not take place until later when they would have the celebration and they would become that husband and wife as we know what God said. So betrothal had the idea that, you know, they were married, and if anything took place, except for the physical relationship, they could have that. They weren't living together. The other thing that I noticed in all of this, Alex, these verses that we read, is what he said there. It made it plain that which is found, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Matthew wasted no time sharing the virgin birth. It comes across two different times in this section. And it also comes across in a way in the genealogy. Notice what it says in verse 16. Jacob begot Joseph. Now notice how it says that. The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Not the father of Jesus, but the husband of Mary, who bore the child. Again, Alex, the virgin birth here, when you look at chapter 1, it is affirmed again and again and again. And so that was so important. The other thing that really got in my mind was he was going to put her away secretly. He didn't want to make a public spectacle of Mary. I think you could see the love that he had. And when the angel appeared to him in this dream, and matter of fact, there'll be four dreams that Joseph will have that will lead him and God guiding him in these, when the angel would appear in these dreams. But notice it says, don't be afraid. Now, Alex, now later on, he'll say, I do it. You commanded, but don't be afraid. It sounds like Joseph had a soft heart in this idea, not wanting to put her away publicly, but secretly. And do not be afraid to take her as your wife. Go ahead, Joseph. Go ahead. You do follow your love for her. Mm-hmm. Do you catch the way that is said? I think it is significant myself, Alex.
It is, and it's a great example of grace. Grace. Okay, Leviticus 20:10, in the ancient Jewish law, if a married person, and really, you know, in the eyes of the community, the union between the families involved, I mean, engagement, like you say, it carries a lot more gravity than it does now, really. I mean, it was uniting of families. It was a pledge.
That's right.
you know, they used to talk about a couple would pledge their troth, T-R-O-T-H, betrothed, and it was a commitment. Just, and that's why marriage is so significant. I mean, because it really is a picture of the gospel. And I know in our world today, frankly, engagement, marriage, and commitment is not really taken as seriously as it ought to be. But back in that day, it was taken very, very seriously. Well, in the case of adultery, according to Leviticus 20:10, both parties could be stoned, the woman and the man. And, you know, whenever there's a betrayal or infidelity, there's two people involved. But Joseph, we see grace here. He was minded, and don't you know he was momentarily heartbroken?
Oh, yeah.
But his fiance, you know, by the way, let me just say this, that I've heard skeptics say things like, well, she wasn't really, you know, pregnant, or the virgin birth is an impossibility, or maybe in that primitive time they were too ignorant to know. Look, they didn't have electricity or cell phones, but they knew how human reproduction worked. And so Joseph is going to quietly step away from this engagement, but he gets a dream from God. And of course, as we said a minute ago, you know, he is told, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, because she's carrying the child of the Holy Spirit. And there's these, it's fulfilled by the prophet Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Verse 23, he is God with us. Bert, a dozen times the Gospel of Matthew reads, it was done that it might be fulfilled by the prophet.
Amen. This is the first one.
Yes.
And what comes, the fulfillment and the scripture that it fulfills, isn't it, Alex? Right here.
We often say this, and I love to say it because it's true. God has a 100% track record of keeping his promises, doesn't he?
He really does. And this this is highlighted in my Bible. I've got a star by it. I've got it underlined because it really does speak to the validity of the Word of God, that it might be fulfilled. That's Matthew's purpose. And then the scripture, virgin will conceive. And the whole idea here is what God is doing. He's bringing about his redemption plan. He's already had it, but now it has started here on earth, Alex. The redemption plan started back in Genesis when he told that serpent, hey, your head's going to be wounded severely, you know?
And Genesis 3:15.
That's it. And now here, that redemption plan, and that's the whole scriptures. It's God's redemption for us. And so this really, it's this virgin conceiving is of God. And yes. Alex, it's a beautiful story, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I want to point out in verse 18 and verse 25, before they came together, and then verse 25, he did not know his wife. In other words, she was a virgin. Christ had no sin nature. After the birth of Jesus, they lived as husband and wife and had children. But Jesus, born miraculously, no sin nature. And we'll talk further about this. We've got a break. This is Exploring the Word. Hey, prayer requests today. We'd love to hear them. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper, asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're getting into Matthew chapter 2. Brent Austin, great music you've picked out there. We Three Kings. Now, I know you associate that with the month of December, but, you know, I love Christmas, and we're in Matthew just starting out. By the way, I'm going to give the number because later on in the next segment, we'll take your phone calls, Bible questions, and prayer requests. We do this on Tuesdays, and that was Brent Austin's idea. Tuesday's a day of prayer. The number, and go ahead and get in the queue if you want to, but it's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
Alex, I can't take credit for that. Bert came in my office right before the show, and he's like, I have an idea. So you'll have to give that to Brother Bert, not me.
The day of prayer was Bert's. Brent.
How unusual.
He had that song in mind. He said, let's do it. And I said, hey, I'm all for it.
Yep. All right. Let me read this from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, that's important, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Well, Bert, that's why we played that song, isn't it?
It really is. And what a song it is. And it is. But here it is. And I love that sign. It says wise men. I know it can be magi, but I like wise men. And I love that saying, wise men still seek him. Amen. That is the truth. And these wise men, I was thinking about, we three kings, they had position, they had wealth, they had scholarship, and they were scientists studying the stars. So they had all of these qualities and characteristics, and they came great distance to see the king. And the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, they were just 5 miles away, and they missed it. I mean, you know how horrible it is to be so knowledgeable, so close. Here they could give directions to the wise men, but they themselves would not bow to the king. Do not let that be anyone who's listening. Don't let that be your case, that you have done this, done that, but you miss the greatest relationship, the greatest person in all the world to know as Savior, the only one, Alex. So anyway, these wise men, it really touches my heart that they would travel that far at great distance, at great cost, with such great gifts to give to the King of the Jews.
You know, this is really amazing here, and we've said this a few times. In Daniel 2:48, it says Daniel was made governor or ruler over the wise men of Babylon, And this is hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, and the Jews are political prisoners and slaves in Babylon, and yet Daniel apparently was being a witness, because the question has been asked, how did the Magi, and they were kind of like astrologers and astronomers looking
combination.
At the stars.
It's a combination of those, really, weren't they?
It really was.
Yeah.
And no doubt Daniel, and kudos to Daniel for understanding the book of Numbers that says one day a star will arise in Jacob, and the star will signify the one in whose hand is a scepter. Who holds a scepter? A king does, right? So years, centuries go by. Well, Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and there's a star. Remember the shepherds. Now, we're going to get more of this story in Luke chapter 2. But the Magi come, and they said to Herod, where is he who's born king of the Jews? Now, again, you know, Bethlehem, the ancestral home of King David, is where Jesus was born, 6 miles from Jerusalem. Now, they say Herod, I'll tell you this, I'll throw it back to you, Bert. Herod was a man of limited power, but he was intensely paranoid of people. They say in his old age, even killed some of his family members. And Augustus, the Roman emperor, said it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. Mm. That's how ruthless this man was. So here's this entourage. Now, what does it mean? Because no doubt the wise men came with, you know, an entourage. And is it going to be war? You know, what is this all about? And they say to Herod, who's intensely jealous over his position, we've come to see the king of the Jews. Where might we find him? And no doubt Herod is probably, his mind is racing with thoughts of fear, paranoia, anger, manipulation. Hey, there's one king, and you're looking at him. I mean, that's probably his posture, wasn't it?
I think it was, and because I heard someone say he was troubled, and when Herod was troubled, everybody around him was troubled too, because they didn't know what he'd do. He was that paranoia. He was that unpredictable at what he would do. Notice this term, and Alex, I want you to speak to it. First of all, it's not prince, it's king. Amen? I mean, mm-hmm. You know. And then it says born king. He is born king, not becoming king. He is born king. He was born to that, Alex. And that just really, strengthens me, blesses me. And he was born king of the Jews, not becoming. He did not inherited. He was that person, Alex.
I got to read a quote by Charles Spurgeon. This is a fascinating verse, and it says in verse 3, Matthew 2, verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, why is it that Jesus, for some, Jesus is a triumph, for some, Jesus means trouble? All right. Spurgeon said this, quote, a stir begins as soon as Christ is born. He has not yet spoken a word. Jesus has not yet done a miracle. He's not proclaimed a single doctrine. But yet when Jesus was born from the very first, while you hear nothing but infant cries and see nothing but infant weakness, still his influence upon the world is manifest, says Spurgeon. When Jesus was born, there came wise men from the east. There is infinite power even in an infant. Amen. Savior. Do you know, Bert, to this day, the name Jesus troubles people. I'll never forget, I was youth pastor at Friendly Avenue Baptist and student minister working there are two or three colleges in the Greensboro area, and I was at the Baptist Student Union. And there were, I don't know, 300. A couple of times a year, they would have a big meal. And the leader of the Baptist Student Union, the BSU, asked me to say the blessing and whispered in my ear, please don't pray in Jesus' name, because that might offend some of the students here. Well, I'm not trying to stir the pot, but you can better know. I said the blessing and thank the Lord for the food in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to say, and I thought, you know, now this is 30 years ago, so it's a water under the bridge. But the BSU was getting paid for by Baptists that certainly they would not have been pleased to know that I was told not to say the blessing in Jesus' name. Bert, people can talk about God. People can even talk about, you know, a higher power or the Lord. But the name of Jesus, people either love it or they don't.
Alex,
have you noticed that?
That is so true. You can know that and realize that. One more thing before we go on a little further here. We know it, but I want to say it. These wise men are Gentiles. Now, here it is. Who is Matthew writing? Who's his target group? It's the Jewish community, although it's for everybody. But they had, you know, somebody said, when you're preaching a sermon, when you're telling a story, have somebody in mind so that you can look at it as they're receiving it. But here, right here, second chapter, right at the beginning, he brings in who? The Gentiles who have come to worship him. That's the heart. That was what God's purpose was for the Jewish nation. Not to have God only them, but to share the good news. Now, again, the gospel, this is before Jesus' birth, but to share the good news that God cares and he's the creator. He's the redeemer of what? All the nations, if they come to him by faith. So, Alex, right here, right at the beginning, Matthew is not only talking about Jews. He's talking about these Gentiles, a missional story concerning these men who have come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The church needs to have a vision for the world to come to Christ, for all nations, don't we?
We really do. We really do. Herod, he's very political, and he knows what to do. In verse 4 of Matthew 2, Herod gathers all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now, the word Christ, Jesus Christ, it's Greek. Christos means anointed one. In other words, whenever you see the phrase the Christ, the anointed one, the not only anointed but appointed Savior. So he gets the chief priests and scribes together. Now, they answer correctly, but I've often thought this was kind of unusual. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, and by the way, verse 6 is a quotation from Micah chapter 5, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, capital R. This is a specific person who will shepherd my people Israel. And of course, Micah 5:2, it says his goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Okay? Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. I get, Bert, I would love for you to comment on this. Okay, the chief priests and scribes, verses 4 through 6, I mean, they had the right answer. But why weren't they going to Bethlehem to see this one that was prophesied by the prophet Micah?
They were blinded. Now, were they blinded by fear of Herod? Were they blinded by their own power and not seeing a Messiah coming as a child? There's a lot of reasons. I think it's the combination. This felt that way. This one felt that way. But they were blinded. Satan has come and blinded the minds. Now, I'll tell you, you can be a religious leader, you can be a political leader, you can be down and out or up and in. But Satan doesn't care as long as he blinds you from real truth, the spiritual truth. And Alex, I think that is written. Now, one more thing, and I know we're coming close to the end of this segment, but this is, okay, we're just 31 verses into Matthew. And he's already used that same thing, but different, little worded differently, that it might be fulfilled in chapter 2, verse 5. It is written by the prophet. And then he has quoted already. He's quoted Isaiah and Micah. This is Matthew. When you read the book of Matthew, you're going to get some Old Testament, whether you want it or not, Alex. You know what Amen. I mean? And here it is, the fulfillment of all that God said, out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel. When Herod heard that word ruler, I think he is already troubled. He was already filled with fear. And I think when he heard that word ruler, it even amplified that, Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's scheming. He's plotting. And by the way, you know, when this world is all you've got, I guess you would guard it jealously. But you know what? Isn't it liberating, Bert, when your true treasure is in heaven, your real home is with the Lord, your actual identity and citizenship is as a child of the King, you don't have to grip this world so tightly, do you?
Well said, brother. And notice what he did. He secretly called the wise men. It's showing you this conniver, this...
Bert, forgive me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to paraphrase verse 7.
Yeah, do it.
When Herod secretly called the wiser than him men...
Amen. Good point. And he's trying to figure it out. He's always done this. He's done it again and again. But he's not just met his match, Alex. He's been overmatched, as you just said. And here is God intervening in this man that is so horrible and so cruel. So all the leaders of the world that's been hideous and horrible, killers, murders. Listen, God's overriding them. Well, listen, we're going to take prayer requests and phone calls about your questions in the next segment. That number is 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you today. Call right now.
Right now, more mothers need that moment of hope. Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps rescue 5 babies. Your generous, tax-deductible gift also helps provide mothers who choose life with love and support and care for up to 2 years. Please don't wait. Help surround mothers and babies with compassion, truth, and hope today. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword, baby. That's #250baby. Or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com. Bert Harper.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees wail out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Well, that song means it's the day of prayer. That doesn't mean we don't take questions, but it does mean that we make prayer a priority on Tuesday. We just do. And we want to share that with you. Before we do, two things. We're going to do it quickly. Just because we do it quickly does not mean it's not vital and important. And one is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. And it's this week when AFR and Revival Fires International partner together to get the New Testament in the hands of believing students of Christ to take them to the school and give it to someone they feel like needs to know Christ. So you have this opportunity to do this right now. The students, the parents can order it for their students and so forth. And again, Truth for a Bible, they're great Bible. They got strips in comic strips in them, or graphic novels concerning so many of the issues that youth face today. And it tells them the truth about it, but it also brings them to a relationship with Christ. So if they're 13 to 18, they can take it and give it away. Over 1 million have been distributed in the last 25 years. And this year, our goal, Alex, is 65,000 Bibles to be given to students who will put it in the hands of other teens. So here's here's the information, and here's how you can get it. You can go to tfy.org, tfy.org, in order, or you can call between 8:30 a.m. and 4 o'clock p.m. this number, and you can order 800-733-4737, 800-733-4737. Be a part of this. We've been doing this again. This is our 26th year to partner together. And so far, Alex, we know of over 30,000 youth who have become believers because of these Bibles put in the hands of youth.
Amen. Bert, that's just wonderful. This morning at the camp in Western North Carolina, we had the youth together for the morning Bible study, and I had two teenage girls read my scripture from 1 John chapter 2, and they read to the group out of Truth for Youth Bibles. And so, praise God, those Bibles are in use. And Bert, again, how can people participate in the distribution of those?
Here's the numbers and here's the contact. TFY.org, that's the line, that's the website, TFY.org, or the number 800-733-4737. I'll give it again. Put it down, write it down. 800-733-4737.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to some calls right now. Bert, are you ready to open up the phone lines?
I'm ready. You want me to do it or can you?
Let's see. Let me try here. We'll go to Illinois. William in Illinois, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good day, brothers.
Hello there.
I've been giving some thought about these last days, about to be a falling away, and that there would be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that people would believe. And also about this time of sorrow. I know God is pouring his spirit out in other countries particularly, but it seems like our nation is some of our situations here, that there's been such a seducing of spirits and doctrines of devils being adhered to. And it is a time of sorrow in this nation if it don't turn around. Thank you for your time, sir. Bye.
Yeah. Bert, you know, in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the beginning of sorrows,
right
near the end of the age. And, you know, the caller mentions wickedness and false teaching. Are we in the times of, quote, the beginning of sorrows, or can we know?
We, with all my heart, I believe we are. Again, that's us knowing what we know. And we see the signs there. They are there, like that song, the signs of the times. They're everywhere. They really are. Lawlessness is raging. That's one of the biggest issues, is lawlessness. Every time it's mentioned, it's talked about that. Seducing spirits, we have them. They've always been with us, but they're multiplied. And even because of social media, they're easier to be shared, Alex. And when untruth finds a vacancy of truth, it will come in as truth. That's the reason we need to arm ourselves with truth. That's one reason AFR exists, and Exploring the Word, truth. So thank you, William.
Yeah, there's a lot. And when we get to Matthew 24, we're going to talk more about that, of why we might be in the beginning of sorrows and in the last days. Let's go to Steve in Kentucky. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome to today's edition of Exploring the Word.
Yeah, hey, Bert and Alex, I consider you guys my personal friends. That's what I tell my wife.
Amen. Anyway. Back at you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, friend, for calling.
You're welcome. Acts 21, Paul goes to verse 17 through 25. They arrive in Jerusalem. And it looks like some of the early Jewish leaders in Jerusalem were following the law. I'm sure they didn't believe that the law could save them. But they told Paul to observe the law. The church leaders did. Look at verse 24.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. This is transition time. I'm going to set this up, and let's do it quickly. We got a lot of people calling in for prayers as well. But, Alex, I remember saved at 12 years old. Now, you were saved later in age than I. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was this time of, okay, you know, what does it mean? The Holy Spirit came, and yes, they had the Holy Spirit in them, but yet there was this transition from Judaism, following Judaism to this freedom, and it's a highway kind of going from one side to the other side while you're navigating, aren't you?
You know, Bert, that's a brilliant observation. Just like the early church was learning what grace was, as a new Christian, I remember that. You know, I think when I first got saved for the first several years, I was pretty legalistic.
Yeah.
Really. And look, I believe, you know, in biblical standards, live right, do right. But we are under grace, aren't we, Bert?
We really are.
That, you know, Martin Luther wrote about on Christian liberty. And again, I'm not saying that we can, Paul addresses in Romans, can we just live any which way? No, but we are free in Christ. And it takes us a while to learn that. Took the early church a little while to learn that.
It did. Hey, Alex, before we go to the next caller, we had this come to Brent, a prayer request. I know Deborah and Don and Dennis got prayer requests. We're going to get all their prayer requests, then we'll pray. But what's the prayer request you got there, Brent?
Yeah, I got this one late last night on Facebook from Cindy in Washington, Iowa. She's asking for prayer for her son, who is a horse trainer. He had a horse go down on yesterday. It knocked him unconscious, and doctors say he has a brain bleed.
Okay. We don't know his name, but it's Cindy.
His name is Tori.
Tori. Okay, we do know his name, Tori. Okay. We're going to, those of you that are all these prayer warriors, and we do have them that listen on Tuesday, and they keep a prayer list. They write it down. They've told me about it. So write Tori and the brain bleed. Where to, Alex?
Amen. Let's go to Deborah in North Carolina. Deborah, welcome to Exploring the Word. Yes, welcome.
Okay, praise the Lord, but thank you. Yes, Teresa, she's got cancer, breast cancer, and she takes cancer medicine so that the cancer can't spread all over her body. But that cancer medicine's giving her side effects, and so it's making her bones brittle, and she's been falling. So her doctor says either she takes the cancer or she, you know, or the spread. So she's trying to make some decisions. If you want to continue to take the cancer medicine, and I just told her to seek the Lord. She just
got
to seek God.
Thank you, Deborah. Alex, you know, this is always the case. How far along you take this treatment, and it causes this, wisdom needs to be given to Teresa to know which God would have her to do.
Amen.
So we're going to pray for that.
Thank you, Deborah. We are going to pray. First, I want to try to get Don. Don in Illinois as well. Welcome, Don.
Well, welcome. Yeah, thank you for your program. Hey, I got my cousin. He had a brain bleed, so he had kind of a stroke, and he airlifted him to Iowa City, and he was in ICU for a while. Then he got out. He's paralyzed on his right side, so he's working with him on that. And then he had a blood clot in his lungs, so he went back into ICU. So I haven't heard what's going on, but I just pray for Leland, and I pray for his wife, Pat. I pray for their two sons, well, three sons, I guess it is. So I just, I know he won't want to live like this. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Don, did you say his name was Leland?
Is what?
Is the name Leland?
Yes, Leland or Lee. Either one. Lee. He goes by either one. Lee
Amen.
Is mine.
Amen. Yep. Well, thank you for sharing that. Bert, we've got Tori with the brain bleed and Teresa with repercussions from cancer and cancer treatments. Then I happen to know several other listeners that have called in with prayer requests. Bert, for these and whatever the Lord else has put on your heart, would you pray for us, Bert?
I will. Father, I thank you for
the fellowship we have in you. We know about the power of your resurrection, but we also know something about the fellowship of your suffering. And we have brothers and sisters here that's called in for others, for Tori, God. We're praying that that brain bleed would be stopped, and Father, there would be no further damage, and there'd be full recovery. I thank you for Cindy, his mother, knowing this and calling. Father, we're praying for Teresa, that this complications from the cancers that it would be lifted, and God, that there would be restoration for her. We thank you for that. And Father, for Lee and what that brain bleed and stroke and now other complications, his wife Pat, their three sons, God, we're praying that you would do the work that you can do. And Alex has several. I've got a friend. The funeral will be Thursday, God, of Dwayne, that father is his son, and daughter and wife are left. And I just pray, God, that you'd be with them. And there's a lot of others. And we pray that you'd meet people where they are, carry them, Father, just like it says in that little poem. You carry us during these times, Father. So carry them and protect them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Demetrius in Texas. Demetrius, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, guys. Yes, I got a young man, 17 years old. His name is Maddox. He had an ATV or four-wheeler drive roll over him, crush his skull, been to surgery, had brain bleeding, broke his leg in seven different places. He's doing a lot better now, but they had to induce in coma like 2-3 times. Just all the brothers and sisters out there who's listening today, and I know there's a lot of other prayer requests out there and whatnot, but young man is a believer, his family is a believer, and I mean, to hear them saying that they're still hanging on and trusting to the Lord to get him through all of this, he's gonna make it, but it's horrible. It's just, you know, it's horrible.
Yeah, man.
So
thank
I just
you,
wanted
Demetrius.
To lift them up to you guys.
Thank you for friends like you, man. Hey, Alex, isn't it awesome to have friends that pray for you?
Amen. Amen. And we will, Demetrius. Let's go to Missouri. Dennis in Missouri, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you?
You're welcome.
Blessings
thank
to you.
You,
Alex and Bert and your families and your program. I try to listen as often as I can. My
thank
prayer
you.
Request is for my brother. My brother's name is Michael. He is 81, I believe. I'm younger than him a little bit. But I'm concerned about his soul for salvation. He's not saved because I try to talk with him. And he's basically said, I don't hear nothing about the church and all that. And which grieves me because I don't want to see my brother lost. He's the only brother I have. So I just bring him before you and ask that you listeners will pray you that the Lord will go after him with the hounds of heaven. Cause
Amen.
Him to realize that he needs to know Jesus as Lord and Savior.
And Dennis, what's his first name?
Oh, cool.
Michael.
Michael.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah.
Bert, let me pray.
Go ahead, Alex.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we all agree with Dennis for Michael's salvation. Father God, I ask that you would keep him alive physically till he could be born spiritually. And in Jesus' name, we pray that he would desire to know you. The Holy Spirit would draw him and he would be sensitive and hear that. In the name of Jesus, we ask for this man to come to a personal knowledge of Jesus and be saved, not lost. Lord, hear the prayers of this dear brother praying for his brother. And we agree in prayer. We thank you in advance. Put witnesses in his path.
Amen.
Maybe he'll turn on the TV and see Billy Graham or David Jeremiah. But, Lord, we ask for this man's salvation, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. We're praying for Maddox, that four-wheeler accident. Young man, good man, believer. And we did not get to answer the question. Alex, I'm going to write it down again about 1 John 5:7, and we're going to give
yes.
an answer. So we just put day of prayer as a priority. We do our best to do that. And so tomorrow we're going to continue in the book of Matthew. We'll be in chapter 2. Read ahead.
and see some more dreams that Joseph had that God would help and guide. And we thank God for that. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, make sure you tell people about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.